perhaps questioning Jesus, may the word touch their hearts this morning, and may they get a revelation, the divine revelation of Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. May such revelation by you be life-altering in the here and in the hereafter. And may they come to also confess, believe, and follow the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and experience life and life abundantly. To God be given all glory, honor, and praise. Amen. It's relatively smooth ground I am presently standing on behind you. On my Christian journey, perhaps, everything is going just fine. But if you can turn around and as you can see, I am without any foot covering on this type of terrain. I can stand fine here without any foot covering. But let's test moving forward. Pretty smooth sailing indeed, correct? Nice and smooth. However, as I turn the corner right over here, I see that it's a little rocky. Okay? I'm equipped to go from there to here without any foot covering because it's very smooth terrain. There isn't anything that's bothering me. Everything's fine. As a Christian, I'm fine. But I turn the corner, and if I try to stand here, and I'm not going to do it, right? If I try to stand there, it's going to be a little unpleasant pressure from the rocky terrain. If I get on the path and stay there long enough without any foot covering, chances are strong I will become what? Overwhelmed, discouraged, and I may even not even try to get on there or even stand on there, which I'm obviously not going to do. I might just give up and do what? Accept defeat. What happens? What's going on here? And how do I navigate the rocky roads as a Christian? As a little aside, because I'm going to let the Holy Spirit move this morning, I've known Jesus since I was a very little boy. I can remember growing up in a neighborhood, and some of you have heard this before, it was a poor neighborhood. I had to go to school in a wealthy area. I got bullied a lot, all sorts of things going on there. Speaking of rocks that size, I remember I had to get from where the school was to get down to my home. I lived in a poor area. Dad was a factory worker, Mom was a waitress, but I was going to school in a wealthy area, bankers and so forth. Lived in a house that was kind of falling apart. You've heard this before, lived by a river, it flooded every year. All sorts of things going on. There was a big tree in the front of our house. I was upstairs on the second floor with my bedroom up there, and I could see that tree at night. The branches kind of made me scared. But even as a little boy, I remember praying to Jesus. I would pray to him about this branch because I was afraid. Don't know how I came to know Jesus. Maybe my mother, maybe a Sunday school teacher, but the reality is I knew Jesus, even as a little boy. And I would be praying to Jesus. To get home from school, to get past the bullies, I'd be praying to Jesus. Did it always work out the way I wanted it to? No. I got bullied, got rocks thrown at me. The path wasn't smooth, but I had Jesus. I had him since a little boy. I've never let go of him. I have him at 60 years of age today, and my life has not been easy. And it's not easy now. I'm suffering persecution every day, but I still have Jesus, and that's all that matters. It becomes crucially important that we understand, as gleaned from the word in Ephesians 6 at 12, that our struggles in this lifetime are not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the powers, against the world forces of darkness, and they're talking about Satan working through evil men in the earth to attack, right? And against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And if you don't have the revelation yet, and many of us do because we've been through some pretty horrific stuff, we're in spiritual battle. We're at war in the spirit realm. Even though it may appear as it being in the natural, we are in a spiritual battle, and spiritual warfare requires a different strategy, a whole different mindset. The run-of-the-mill earthly arsenal and think tank is not going to cut it. You will not stand firm against nor defeat if called upon to advance the enemies of darkness in the spirit realm with military might or with human strategies, in other words. You are not going to be able to fight what's going on in the world today or in your own life with man-made solutions. It will not work. It will not work. And the Apostle Paul tells us so. He says you must put on the full armor of God to be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And that armor is delineated in the word as follows. Number one, you have to gird your loins with the belt of truth. Number two, you have to put on the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Number three, you have to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Number four, you have to take up the shield of faith. Number five, you have to wear the helmet of salvation. And number six, you have to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He talks about those six things. We're not going to cover all six things today, but those are the six things that you need to have as armor in order to get through life, because I'm telling you, life is going to get on you. Some of us more than others. Everyone in the room has an experience they can relate here that's life-altering, life-changing. And we can either become defeated by it or have understanding this morning. And I stand with every one of you today. You all know me. You know I have a child that's very ill, that I've watched over many years starving to death. I'm still standing on Jesus, because I've known him since a little boy. Not everybody knows Jesus as a little boy. It doesn't matter when you come to faith in Jesus, but I'm standing on Jesus in the midst of the storm, and I'm not giving up on him. God didn't say we were going to understand everything that he was doing in the earth. And I've come across people, well, this is happening in my life, that is happening in my life. Praise God, because he knows what he's doing. It may not be pleasant. We may be angry with him. I'm angry with him at times, and he and I have a conversation. Why won't you heal her? I'm in control. Do you believe that, Wayne? I'll deal with it the way I know is best for her and for you. And if you hold fast to me, in the end, all things are going to work together. You have to stop looking through your natural eyes and see me through spiritual eyes. We are at warfare, and Daddy knows what's going on in the spirit realm, and he is asking us to begin to see with spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. Each of these six pieces of armor are likely worthy of a message in and of themselves, but today, as hopefully led by the Spirit, I would like for us to take a closer look at the one piece of armor to help protect us, to help us stand firm in this hour, and that is to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace. One of the tactics the forces of darkness are going to use is to try to wear us down and defeat us with fear. With fear. And I've been fearful. I'm human. We're all human. I've been fearful as I watch and see what Satan has done, what Satan's doing to my child. And that's just one example of things I've been dealing with in the natural, or so I thought. But it's in the spirit realm. We are to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shod our feet. It's essential to understand as a Christian what is needed to stand firm against the schemes of the enemy in this regard. The forces of darkness are advancing especially against the body of Christ in this hour by using fear as a powerful weapon to discourage us and ultimately defeat us, if that were even possible. But he's going to come, and they're going to use fear. The darkness is going to use fear to try to get us to stop. You yourselves may be personally under spiritual attack involving fear and despair. Now, the question posed, do we raise the right flag and give up? I haven't. You can't raise the right flag and give up because we win in the end. And that's easy to say, and you say, that's easy for you to say. I'm telling you, it's not easy for me to say. It's not. I cry, I beg, I plead with the Lord. Please help me. And the answer is silence. But I know who he is. And I know that he is working. And I refuse to let the enemy destroy me with fear, even if she were to die. I love my God. I know who he is. I know he's been with me since I was a little boy. And he says, you need to trust me. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Do not be deceived. We are under spiritual attack. Satan's trying to wipe you out. And if he can't get to you, guess what? He's going to come get your children. He's going to take your wife away. You're going to have financial problems. You name it. Satan is going to try to stop you from receiving what God has for you. He's going to do it. He's trying to do it with me, and he's been trying for years. It's happening all around us. And he says, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So to help us this morning, we're going to look at some definitions. The word shod in the Greek, hupadio. It means to bind under one's feet, to put on footwear, to bind on. Shod in the Hebrew is na'al. It means to fasten up, and this is my favorite, to lock into place. I'm not just going to put it on. I'm going to lock it into place because I'm going to need it. Because in my natural man, I'm an emotional guy. Darn it, Satan. No, it's not Satan. It's God. He made me emotional, compassionate, caring. But sometimes that works to my disadvantage because I look in the natural and I feel. But he tells me to lock it into place. Lock it into place. Bind, put on, fasten, lock into place. In other words, it's securely a part of me. It should be securely a part of you. And you've ensured that what? It's not going to come off. It's not going to come off, come what may. And believe me, there's things coming. The word preparation in the Greek is paraskeuē. It means readiness. Also, ma'arak. Mental disposition. The word gospel in the Greek is euangelion. It means good news or good message. And we all know that. Good news of great joy, which is, as Terry said, it's in Christ Jesus. In Luke 2:10, it said, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord, good news of great joy. The gospel message of Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, come what may. That Jesus who was with me at 4 or 5 years of age in that bedroom when I saw those shadows of the tree is the same Jesus who is with me today, and he whispers in my ear through the Holy Spirit, I took care of you then. And I'm going to take care of you even with what's going on in your family. Do you believe me? Do you believe me? And sometimes it's hard. Julie knows. Sometimes I'm not up to the challenge, but he is. Jesus in me. The same Jesus that's been with me since I was a little boy. And I refuse to unbind or take him off. I walked with him then. He's walked with me. I'm going to walk with him now. I'm getting home. I don't care what happens to me here. I do, but I don't care in essence because I'm not worldly bound. I'm kingdom bound. And I may not understand what God's doing. I may be angry with him at times. I may even blame him, but I know at the end of the day that he is in charge. And whatever's happening, who am I to tell him? He says to hold fast, come what may. And I've had a whole fast. The word peace in the Hebrew is shalom. It means safety, wellness, happiness, welfare, prosperity. And it's not the way you and I think, because we are not always going to have situations that would seem peaceful. Sometimes they're traumatic, loss, anything that comes our way. But he's talking about safely at rest in Christ. Safely at rest in Christ Jesus, because my salvation is sealed if I hold fast and don't give up. It's sealed. That's peace. Shalom. Through a proper relationship, in other words, with God, peace with God as a result of what? Justification, Terry talked about, to render as just or innocent by our faith in Jesus Christ. The root word of shalom is shalam, and it means to make good, to make full restitution, to restore, to make something whole. Jesus made us whole, didn't he? Because of sin, fall in the Garden of Eden, the darn Adam and Eve, right? Well, if we would have been back in the Garden of Eden, we wouldn't have sinned. They sinned, right? Well, why did you make them that we could sin? Because he didn't want us to not have free will. He wanted to share his love, but what kind of love can he share to someone that's a puppet? You're going to do what I say, you don't have free will. Well, why does God allow bad to happen? Sin allows bad to happen. God doesn't. We're in the situation sometimes we see the nation in and in other areas because sin has entered in and it's still operating. Satan's still alive and well. He says he's the ruler of this world. He ain't my ruler, but he's the ruler. He's in the second heaven, earth the first, the air the second, third heaven, heaven where God is. There's warfare going on. There's warfare going on, and sin causes things to happen in our life. It isn't an unloving God, but he's a loving God, and so he gives us free will, and unfortunately, free will plays out in our lives. Maybe not even something we've done, something else that happens. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Are you going to be able to hold on? So to recap, we're to cover our feet with what? The gospel of peace. Your preparation in this regard is to know the Prince of Peace. And Isaiah tells us that who's the Prince of Peace? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. God is love, it says in Scripture. By this we know the love of the Father was manifest in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his only begotten Son to be the propitiation or the appeasement for our sins. And the Word says there is no fear in love. Love casts out all fear. From 1 John 5:5, it said, who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Who is the one who overcomes the world but he that believes Jesus is the Son of God? I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Right? I believe it. When my first wife left me, I believe Jesus was the Son of God. When my daughter's been in the hospital time and time again, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. When I lost a job in the past, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. When I was in financial straits, and I have been in the past, and then God bless me, I had a prophetic word spoken in this church years ago that everything that Satan took from me was going to be restored 100-fold in this lifetime. I got another wife that was a Christian, right? So I was blessed in that way. I got a job. Finances came back because my finances were messed up. And I'm waiting for the third one, which is that my daughter will be restored to me in this lifetime. Now, if it doesn't happen, am I going to stop serving God? We talked about that, right? Wouldn't be easy. I'd be crushed. I'd be devastated. But he's still my God. He's still my God. The peace of the gospel is the peace with God that comes through being reconciled to him through Christ Jesus. And you know me, I like to talk about Jesus. The incomparable Christ, it says in 1 Colossians 13. The word says, "For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By him all things were created, both in the heavens and the earth." Everything was created by him. "In the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Your heart is beating right now because Jesus is allowing it to beat. Satan can't stop your heart from beating unless he says he can stop it. Everything is in control through him. Even Satan can't do anything without going forward to the throne room. He had to go to the throne room to ask if he could attack Job, who was, by the way, a righteous man. And guess what happened to him? He lost everything. He lost his wife, his children, his cattle. Everything was lost. And in the end, and he complained, right? He complained. And they came at, "You must have sinned. You must have done this, that." He didn't do anything. Daddy restored him. Restored him. We don't know how long that took. It was years, probably. It wasn't 2 weeks. He suffered. He suffered. And some of you here are suffering because of what the adversary is doing. But he stood fast. And Daddy was a God of his word and restored him. Maybe not the way Job thought he was going to be restored, but he got restored. Jesus is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that in himself everything will come to have, he will come to have first place in everything. "For it was the Father's good pleasure," it says, "for all the fullness to dwell in him." And let's pay a close attention to this. "And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross." Whether things on earth or things in heaven, "and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed," hear this carefully because I keep preaching it because the Holy Spirit keeps telling me to preach it, "continue in the faith." Well, I don't care what happens. Continue in the faith. And it's going to be hard to do because Satan's going to really mess with us, especially in this hour. Danny, you know with things you're dealing with. I know. Other people in the room have had worse things happen than have happened to me or are happening to me. And Jesus says, continue in the faith. The Prince of Peace. Firmly established and steadfast. And not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation unto heaven. John assures us in the book of John of the deity of Jesus Christ. It says, "In the beginning was the Word," and we're talking about Jesus was the Word. "And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him is" what? "Life. And the life is the light of men and women." We are the light in the earth because in Jesus we have life. He went up, he said, "Now you be the light." You want me to be the light while my daughter's starving to death? Yes, I do. Who's first in your life? You are. I'll take care of that situation. And however I do it, I want you to trust me. Really, Lord? Yes, I want you to trust me, just like you did when you're a little boy with that tree, or trying to get home when kids were throwing rocks at you. Okay, I got to trust you. I'm still going to feel the pain and anguish and sadness, but I'm going to trust you. and I'm going to keep advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've been doing it for 20 years, and I'm on fire for Jesus because of the Holy Spirit, in spite of what's happening to me. The light shines in the darkness. That's how we get through the darkness, by having the light of Christ Jesus. Scripture says his name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. There is no end to the increase of his government or of his peace. Scripture says all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. Jesus is in control. Not Satan, not your circumstances, not your fear. Jesus, if you bind him and walk in him. To him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. We're going to go to heaven, right? I don't know if we're going to be here, if there's millennia, you know, if people, oh, there's the rapture, there's not the rapture, who cares? We got to stand until we get home, right? So if I'm here when all this stuff is going on, I guess I'm supposed to be the light, right? You're supposed to be the light. If he raptures us out of here, so be it. If I've lost something, I'm going to get reestablished in heaven, right? Reestablished in heaven. Now, I might have a few words with Jesus when I get to heaven. What were you doing? Right? What were you doing? And hopefully he'll tell me. But if he doesn't, I'm home. I'm home. We're all homebound. This is all temporary. All the pain, sorrow, sickness, disease, death, loss, it's all temporary. Doesn't mean we're not going to be hurt by it. But it's all temporary. We're going to get home if we hold fast. If we hold fast. All the nations are his inheritance. God has established him as king upon Zion, his holy mountain. When I first preached here, I talked about Psalms 2. And I love Psalms 2, and I memorized it because it's so applicable to what's going on in the world today. Because the nations are in an uproar, right? All these people. And he says, why are the nations in uproar and the kings devising a vain thing? The rulers of the earth take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart, let us cast their cords away from amongst us. And he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord God, he scoffs at them. He says, but as for me, I have established my king upon Zion, my holy mountain, Jesus. Surely I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. He begotten Jesus to be king over everything. So we can have all this stuff going on in the earth, all these rulers. And I don't talk politics, I'm not saying anything, but I'm saying, doesn't matter who's in president, doesn't matter who's running countries, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And at the end, every knee is going to bow to him. Whether you believe in him or not, you will bow. Now, you may not go to heaven, but you will bow to him in the end. Right? Because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All the nations, that means everything. He inherits everything. Jesus went to prepare a place for us. In his Father's house are many mansions. Jesus did not leave us as orphans. He sent forth the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Helper, the Spirit that testifies about Jesus. That's the peace of Christ. He gave us the Spirit. So we can be at peace. The real way, he means, at peace, safely in Jesus. We're going home. Doesn't mean peace like we think it means. It means we are safe with Jesus and we're heaven bound. Jesus is now seated at the Father, at the right hand of the Father. The right hand means power. And he's interceding for you and I, the saints. In Jesus, you and I also, after listening to the messages of truth, the gospel of our salvation, having also what? Believed. You can't hear the gospel, not believe it, and say you're going to be saved. You have to believe what he's saying. We have thus been sealed in Jesus and the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. I know the Holy Spirit is in me because do something not right, can't relax. Because he's, like Terry said, he's in there and he's like, you shouldn't do that. But it's fun. No, you shouldn't do that. Now, I'm maturing as a Christian, right? We got to shake things off. None of us in the room are perfect. I know, Julie, you think I'm perfect. I'm not perfect. I've got a few problems, right? But the Holy Spirit will convict you, and you're not going to be able to get away with things. I know, Denny, you and I, perfect. It's hard. It's hard for our wives. Jesus is coming back, and his reward is with him to render to every man according to what he has done. The word says he is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Lion. I love it. The Lion, and that's why we're the Lion Ring, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Right? He's coming back. He was a lamb, came in, took care of us. He's coming back as a lion. I would suggest that you get on his side. I would. I would suggest you get, and not because you're fearful, because he's giving you a free gift. But when he comes back, and he's coming back, right, I would rather be on the side of the line of the tribe of Judah, or otherwise you're going to get devoured. Satan may think, and Satan really knows. I believe Satan knows where he's going. He's trying to take everybody with him, because Satan knows what's waiting. True peace is not, hear me, the absence of conflict, tragedy, despair. Jesus was clear that we would encounter trials and tribulations. In John 16:33, it says, "In the world you have tribulation." Oh yeah. That probably wasn't the word I was looking for. In the world you have a lot of pain, you have a lot of loss, all this stuff, but Jesus told us, right? In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, we have to get a mindset of that. We're not of this world. This is all temporary. Everything we have is a gift from God. Just as it was given, it can be taken away. Some of us have had some loss. Some of us are experiencing some loss. But guess what? We're still in Jesus. And he's going to make it all. He's going to reestablish us and make everything new. Maybe not here, but in the end. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. In the book of James, it says we're to consider it all joy when we encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Joy? Did you see what's going on in my life? Joy! You better get ministering. There's work to be done in the kingdom. Where are you focused, Wayne? Are you focused on your daughter, your situation, whatever else is going on in your life? Or are you focused on me? Because I'm supposed to advance the kingdom, and then there's nothing special about me. But I know he called me to preach, right? Because I'm supposed to release the word, and I've been releasing it in the midst of the most horrific attack ever. I can't even explain what's happened, but I'm still standing on the word. I'm still standing on the word. And I'm going to finish my race. True peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is rather a sense, a condition of well-being, or knowing that you're safely at rest in Christ Jesus, despite what we are facing. And that means absolutely anything you are facing. It is the peacefulness that comes with having salvation in Jesus. Such peace cannot be taken away by any circumstances that come our way, whether health issues, financial issues, family issues, loss, death, you name it. When we talk about the peace of the gospel, again, it is the peace with God that comes through being reconciled unto him through his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our peace comes in knowing the Prince of Peace and the Word and walking in it. That's the only way you're going to have peace. And it's peace that can be afforded to you always. That safety in Jesus Christ. I believe it so much, I'm preaching it all the time. Peace in Jesus. Know Jesus. Accept Jesus. Walk Jesus. Our peace comes from him. In Ephesians 2, 14, 18, it says, "For he himself, Jesus, is our peace, who made both groups, the Jews and Gentiles, into one, and broke down the barrier, the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity," which means the division or separation, "which is the law, the commandments contained in the ordinances, so that he himself might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near, for through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father." I haven't given my life. Jesus did. I didn't have the skin ripped off my back on the way to the cross. And you can't even imagine what that really was. Jesus did. I didn't sweat blood. I didn't take into my body every sin ever committed or that ever would be. His bones had to be breaking, right? That's the kind of suffering he had. People rejected him, spat on him, his own disciples didn't want to have anything to do with him at that part. And he hung on that cross, being mocked, even by one of the prisoners on the cross, mocking him, "If you're the Son of Man, get us off the cross." Right? He suffered horribly. He suffered beyond anything. He suffered more than I ever could suffer. Right? And he didn't say, "Oh, more poor me. Look what Daddy's allowing to happen to me." He knew he was on assignment, and he had to get to the cross. He couldn't die over there while he was being beaten. He had to be alive to get to the cross so he could die for the sins of the world. God lost his own son. He had to watch that. Can you imagine? And some of you have horrific things. We all do. But he had to watch his son being persecuted the way he was. Have his skin ripped off. Have him nailed to the cross. Have him be in pain. Have him all that sin in his body. I guess I can survive a little bit here, even with what I'm dealing with. The Apostle Paul says, let me go back. The peace of the gospel is the peace with God that comes through being reconciled to Christ. We can have peace because we are now children of God, heirs with Christ according to the promise. Our joy is no longer truly tied to the things of this world. Rather, we are what? Kingdom kids, I say. Eternally mindset. We have a mindset on eternity and all that it implies, and our joy flows forth accordingly. Jesus understood this concept as he endured the cross. Why did he go to the cross? For the joy set before him. He knew what the reward was. He was going to save us all, and we could all be with him for an eternity. So he said, I'm going to get beaten, right? I'm going to carry the cross. Everybody's going to reject me. They're going to mock me, laugh at me, bid for his clothing. I'm going to be on that cross for a long time, and it's going to be painful, but I'm doing it because I'm focused on the joy set before me. And I'm surviving in what I'm dealing with because of the joy set before me. I'm going home. I'm headed home. And nothing is going to snatch me out of Daddy's hands unless I allow it by giving up my faith, which is exactly what Satan wants you to do, to be in fear, to be discouraged, to be angry at God, whatever it is that he's whispering in your ear. And if he can get you off course, you ain't going to get to be on the right side of the lion of the tribe of Judah when he comes back. I'm getting home. I'm getting home. The Apostle Paul said he learned to be content in whatever circumstance he was in. He knew how to get along with humble means. He knew how to live in prosperity. And in each and every circumstance, he says, "I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things." This isn't just a little slogan. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can stand when I see my daughter starving to death, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm still standing because I know where I'm going. And I know even in that horrific situation, he's got her covered. Come what may. Come what may. come what may. I consider the sufferings of this present time as not worthy to be compared with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. It's going to be awesome where we're headed. Paul further writes in 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Preparation, readiness, knowing the Prince of Peace and his word, the good news, the gospel of peace. Walk in that, and the fear factor will lose its grip. The Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 12:2, it says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and song, and he hath become my salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Today I encourage you to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is what's before us. If I would have been walking on this with no shoes, I wouldn't survive this. 1 Peter 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. Reserved for you in heaven. He knows everyone's name in here. He knows everything you've gone through. He knows everything that's happened to you, and he's going to restore you 100-fold. You need to understand who Jesus is. He didn't say it was going to be easy here, and it isn't. He said he's going to restore you and make all things new. Keep holding fast to the faith that's within you by the Holy Spirit. Obtain an inheritance which is unparable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven, who are protected by the power of God through the faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And in this you greatly rejoice, it said, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by the fire. Oh, I've been tested by the fire. Wow. Almost got burned a few times, burnt up, but I stood fast. And I'm still standing fast in the midst of the darkness that's even in my own life. I'm getting home. Hello, fear. You may be primed for a little bitty me, but newsflash, I've got the spirit of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah in me. I've got the spirit of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah in me, and I walk in such, and I am securely affixed to the word, and I, or I should say he in me, is about to roar. Fear! He's about to roar. Not quite sure you were ready for that fear. And not just self-talk. I'm not talking to try to convince yourself. I'm talking about true belief. True belief in holding fast. I'm talking about true belief in the word and what the word says that is at my disposal for any circumstance, any terrain, come what may. And don't get me wrong, I may get caught up in my emotions at times, and that's okay because we're human. I've suffered loss. I cry. I'm depressed. All this other stuff. But I don't give up my faith. And that's where my true peace comes from. I'm at peace because I'm safely in the hands of Jesus. And remember, he's with you. So whatever it is you've gone through, whatever it is you're going to go through, as horrific as it is or has been, he has been there with you. And he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm about to step on fear with the most powerful power source in the universe. King Jesus. King Jesus. Come what may, even if they take my life, I'm secure. No one is taking me out of his hands. Thank you, Jesus, for reconciling me to Daddy. I know who I am, and I walk in that. I have put on, fastly secured, the gospel of peace. So guess what? No problem. No problem. Created in the very image of God. Temple of God. And I've got the Spirit of God within me, the Holy Spirit dwelling in me, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth who leads me and protects me and reveals Jesus to me in every terrain. I'm going through some problems. I'm stepping on fear because Jesus is with me. I have to hold fast to that. I'm a new creature. All things have passed away. All things are new. I don't live for the things of the world. I live for the kingdom of God, and I am heaven bound. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, a kingdom of power, authority, dominion, a kingdom which can't be moved, a kingdom which will never be destroyed. I'm not a stranger to God. Rather, I'm a fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God. I am built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, with Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. Take that, fear. I have been rescued from the dominion of darkness and placed in the wonderful light of the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus, and I am now destined to shine as that light while I journey as led by the Holy Spirit. He may not just have you stand. He may say you need to walk forward on this terrain. It's okay, got the gospel peace on my feet. I'm able to do it, I'm able to endure, I'm able to survive. If God is for me, whew, if God is for you, who can be against you and defeat us? Really, who? What? Even though through death I am victorious, having held fast until the end, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We were considered sheep to be slaughtered, but in all things, we are overwhelmingly conquerors through Jesus who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor principalities, things present or things to come, powers nor height nor depth nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And in case you didn't know, God is the one who fights for us. It's not us anyhow. Whatever situation I'm in, whatever rocky terrain I'm on, he's going ahead of us to fight for us. And sometimes he says, Wayne, stop interfering and stand in the midst of your fear and stand on my word, the Prince of Peace, Jesus. And then sometimes it's led by the Holy Spirit, yeah, I'm going to need you to advance now because I'm about to do something through you. I'm still on rocky terrain, but I've got the gospel of peace. One man puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights, just as he promised. I'm going to put 1,000 men to flight? Yeah, if you're being led by the Spirit. I will not fear, for the Lord God is the one fighting for me. For thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in repentance and rest I will be saved. In quietness and trust is my strength. In Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Now may the Lord God bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.